Okay, we're going to go back to looking at the gospel some more. Again, I think there's much confusion about it. Folks think they know what it's about. The things that are out there passing as gospel today, I don't know what they are. I certainly don't recognize them. But we've looked at the gospel in some detail, and I don't claim to completely understand all these things. But we started in our introduction looking at the antiquity of the gospel, as Brother Howe alluded to in his prayer this morning. You know, it goes back. The first gospel preacher was God in the garden. But it goes back before that. And again, it boggles our little pea brains. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. He became our surety. God already accepted those things. But the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. And then over in Hebrews, we read about the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of the everlasting or eternal covenant. Well, the gospel is eternal. And again, it's spoken of throughout the Old Testament. Men have come to Christ and have been drawn to Christ but one way. And there's only one way to come to God, and that's through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's through the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel is, and that's what the gospel ever has been. And that brings us toward our second point was, as we looked at the meaning and the content of the gospel, or we might say the essence of the gospel. The gospel's not my words. It's not what some preacher gets up here and says. In its essence, the gospel is what Christ did. It's what Christ accomplished. All that Christ accomplished on behalf of his elect, that is what the gospel is. That is what the euangelion is, the good news. What Christ accomplished on behalf of his people. And as we spoke of this morning, as the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's why it doesn't bother me when folks call me a hard shell. Because, as I understand that, the origins of that came back from hard shall. And I'm a hard shall. When the scripture says shall, it means that. He shall! That's a hard shall. He shall save his people. And I'm going to try. He's not going to do the best he can. He's not going to do his part and hope that you do his. Sit up there wringing his hands in heaven. So, oh, I just hope some of them will come. he's in heaven. He's done what he pleased. And, you know, the Lord had to slap Nebuchadnezzar around a little bit to make him realize that when he spoke those words. So the antiquity of the gospel we've looked at. We looked at the meaning and the content of the gospel, its essence. And then we've looked at the effects of the gospel. And I wrote some stuff down here and I was trying to review. I think I left one of my points out. I'm just getting old, right? So the purpose, we did. And then the meaning and the content. Oh, the purpose of the gospel is to save God's elect. And then we've been looking at the effects of the gospel the last few weeks, or last week or two anyway. What are the effects of the gospel? The sheep hear and they come. Those for whom it's intended receive it as indeed the euangelion, as indeed the good news. And then in reality, it's called the euangelion because it is the good news to the elect. It's not the good news to the reprobate. And then Paul says over in 2 Corinthians, you know, to one we're a savor of life unto life, and to the other we're a savor of death unto death. And not good news for the reprobate. It's good news for the child of God. And we've looked here at the effects of this, and those that are his hear and receive. And we're in the midst of looking at that next week. The fact of the matter is, no one is invited to accept the message. You know, the gospel is something that a herald brings. It's like the runner from a battle. And he comes back and announces, you know, it is finished! As our Lord said on the cross, it's done! The victory's won! It's been accomplished! Folks aren't invited to accept that truth. That truth is proclaimed. It's proclaimed as an accomplished fact. No one's offered peace and deliverance. No, peace and deliverance has already been won. It's already been accomplished. And that is good news for those who long for it. That is good news for the thirsty. It is good news for the heavy laden. It is good news for the weary. It is good news for the sin sick. It is good news for the sinner. That's not good news for the self-righteous. That's the Lord during his earthly ministry said, yeah, I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, I think we all realize the Pharisees weren't so righteous as they thought themselves to be. But they didn't see themselves as sinners. They didn't need that. It wasn't any good news for them. It's those, and that's why the calls in Scripture, they're not a universal invitation, as some try to misinterpret those things. And all it says, for the thirsty, for the weary. And that dead man doesn't know he's thirsty and weary. He's that dead man in my illustration that I beat to death, but it's like the fellow that's at the bottom of a deep, deep hole. And some folks think, oh, the gospel message is we throw down that rope and we say, grab the rope, we'll pull you up. The only problem is the guy at the bottom of the hole is dead. That's a big problem. He's dead. But when the Spirit gives him life and you throw that rope down, he doesn't want anything more than to grab that rope. He comes to realize his state and his condition, and he wants out of there. And so that's why the invitations to the thirsty and to the heavy laden, to the sinner. Christ didn't come and make salvation possible. No, Christ came and saved his people. And again, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He didn't try to save them. He saved them. In Romans, Paul says in Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace, not by anything I did. Or decision I made. Romans 5, verse 19, Paul says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I'm talking there of Adam. You know, we all fell in our father Adam. That's why the saint is born, you know, as his relationship to Adam. You know, he's undone, he's dead. You know, the elect man is born dead in trespasses and sin because of his relationship to Adam. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners by the obedience of one. There's another hard shall. Shall many be made righteous. By the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Let's say by the obedience of one and their cooperation. By the obedience of one, if they would just do their part. Oh, God makes sure that happens. You know, God works in the lives and the hearts of his elect and brings them to himself. Again, we're not, some accuse us of believing, you know, God. Oh, we believe God violates people's will. No, God wakes them up and he fixes their willer. And they walk through the right thing. You know, they have no desire but to embrace their Savior and to embrace the gospel of their salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're made the righteousness of God in him. And that's the only way. So we don't offer conditions of peace. We publish peace. You see, we're not negotiators. We're not like the folks over in the Middle East that are trying to work out a treaty of peace. You know, we're not diplomats. We're not negotiating a treaty with folks. That's not what the gospel proclamation is. We're proclaiming a victory that's already been accomplished. We're heralds of what the Lord has already done. And I think there's a critical difference there. There's a critical understanding, you know, and what is actually being done, what is actually being accomplished, and what it actually the Lord's pleased to use us to do. There's nothing of us. The Lord doesn't even have to use us to do that. Yeah, and I'll go back to some things you already referred to. Some things, oh, you know, you got the preacher, and you know, oh, well, his gospel, man, what he does. But, you know, the Lord saved John the Baptist in the womb. I, you know, somebody can argue that with me if they want to, but I don't know how they can win that argument. He recognized the Savior. He leaped with joy. Now, what preacher was there preaching him? You know. I know the Lord usually uses us, and we ought to be thankful for that. And you know, we proclaim those things, but it's the Lord that reveals these things. That's like it was with Peter. The flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to me, but my Father, which is in heaven. God will call His sheep to Himself. You know, we're not like some of the folks that they call hard shells. And, you know, I reject some of their teaching that, you know, say, well, you know, the elect are elect regardless of what they do in this life, even if they never come to Christ. Well, no, that's not what the Lord taught. You know? He said, well, you know, they'll come to Christ after their death or something. You know, I don't know. I can't find that in Scripture. I can find it in some of the teaching of the cults. But now the Lord will bring His people to Himself. Maybe in the womb like John the Baptist. It may be like that thief that was on the cross. You know, some folks get the idea, and I understand, you know, we all tend to do that way. We have our experience, and they get the idea, well, man, if the Lord didn't save you just like He saved me, then phew, I don't think you're saved, you know. I don't think you're going to make it, man, you know. Yeah. The Lord works the way He will. The wind blows where it listeth. You know, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's the way God works. You know, I'm not opening broad things saying, you know, all, there's all kind of ways. There's only one way. And the elect will always come to that way, will always follow that way, will always embrace the gospel of their salvation, and the Lord will ensure that that happens, and the Lord will call His sheep to Himself. He's not going to allow them to wander endlessly. Now, some of them wander a little bit longer than others. And some of them wander a little bit further afield than others. And by looking, we can't tell. It's like I said, always say about Paul, man. If I'd have known Saul of Tarsus, I'd say, that man's a reprobate. He's going to bust hell wide open. But there was the road to Damascus, you see. Now, you see, that's a whole other way, isn't it? There's John the Baptist, there's road to Damascus, there's a thief on the cross. But the Lord draws His people to Himself. He will bring those that are His to Himself. John 6, 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of the preacher. No, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You know, it's not by the eloquence of this preacher. It's not, you know, because of my understanding or, you know, my manipulation or psychological warfare that you see employed in some preaching services. And I go back again to the instance of Peter, as he's there with the Lord. And Matthew 16, in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, what do folks say about me? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, you know, because Peter had figured that all out by himself. He'd figured it out. No. Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God reveals that to his saints, and he draws them to himself. And he draws them to embrace the gospel of their salvation, which is what Christ accomplished. He will call his sheep to himself. You know, all kind of different ways. You know, again, to think about the old Ethiopian eunuch out there reading in Isaiah. Not understanding all those things, but the Lord had already started a work in there, had already done a work. And so the Lord sends Philip out there. And eunuch says, you know, who's this guy writing about, himself or somebody else? Or, you know, there's Cornelius. The Lord quickened him and opened his eyes and made him realize he's dead at the, or he's at the bottom of the hole. He'd been dead, now he's alive, and now he's in a terrible fix. The Lord says, Peter, you go preach to that Roman. Peter said, no, I don't think so. And the Lord had to work on him a little bit. But Peter, you know, kill and eat. No, I'm a Jew, I don't eat that stuff. So, who's telling you to do this, Peter? See? But the Lord will ensure that his elect here, it's none fall through the cracks, like Brother Howe said. You know, and we pray for and support missionaries, support folks that believe the Lord sent them someplace, but listen, say, well, if they don't go, then those folks are going to die and go to hell. Really? Really? That's the God failed? God couldn't accomplish it because some man didn't do something? No, God's going to make sure it happens. You know, it's just like in the case of, you know, old Esther. So, you know, maybe you've come to the kingdom for such time as this. And if you don't do it, says, salvation's going to rise up from another place. You know, the Lord's going to accomplish what he intends. In John 8 and verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Again, it's not turned upside down like most of the preachers today would preach it. Well, if you'd only hear God's words, then you can be of God. No, that's not the way it works. He that is of God heareth God's words. There's nothing to be prideful about that, because there's nothing in them that deserves it. In fact, all the more reason to give him all the glory and the praise and the honor. But he that is of God heareth God's word. And then the Lord says this, ye hear them not. Why? Because ye are not of God. Again, the Lord doesn't beg and plead like folks, well, just hear them so that you can, you know, it's like telling that dead man, you know. Well, just grab the road, fella. Oh, he's dead. Well, just hear the words. He's dead. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. John 10. The Lord says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Lord said to Peter, you know, for whom do you say that I am? The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In the same context, a few verses down, in John 10 and verse 14, the Lord says this, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. The Lord knows his sheep. When he went to Calvary's cross, he knew each and every sheep. And he laid down his life for them. As I said before, it's like the high priest and would go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. And he wore that breastplate that had the names of the tribes of Israel. And the Lord knew the names of each of his elect. See? The Lord says, I know my sheep. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. And he says this, and am known of mine. There's the comfort. They will come to him. You know, what a privilege it is, you know, to bring light to where the Lord's already brought life and to see some of the sheep come, you know, if the Lord gives us that. But it's not us. No, you're taught of the Father. Now in verse 16 of John 10, the Lord said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. You know who he's talking about there? He's talking about us. Yeah. I've got some sheep that aren't of the house of Israel. I'm glad that was true. He says, another sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they, here's another one of them hard shells. And they shall hear my voice. You know, he didn't say, well, maybe they'll hear a voice if the preacher's effective enough, you know, and if they had a nice enough sanctuary, and, you know, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, the Lord will call those that are his to himself. Down in John 10, in verse 27. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's a real comfort. There's a real peace. It's not, folks struggle with this thing. In some of these Arminian circles, it's like, man, I don't know if I said the right things. You know, I come down front, but I'm not sure if I said the right things, or if I prayed the right way, or if I did the right things. I guarantee you, if it's up to you, it was all the wrong things. It was not the right things. But it was of him. It is finished. He did it all. He finished it. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes the saints in Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. See, the saints are going to believe the truth. They're going to come to God, and they're going to come, and they're going to believe the truth because of God-given faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And not some faith I worked up. That would have failed too. From the beginning, God has chosen salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives faith and repentance. It's not yours, but God allows us to exercise those gifts. And those gifts are exercised when the gospel's revealed, and that gives an object to that faith. And the object to that faith is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The object of that faith is what Christ did. And so God already gives life. But then we're privileged sometimes to bring that light. God may do it other ways, but God brings that light. He brings that gospel. He brings that message. He brings that messenger that says, it's finished, it's done, it's been accomplished. And they embrace the gospel of their salvation. For until he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls his elect to himself. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. But you know, the Armenian will take that verse and try to twist it around. Elect according to foreknowledge of God. That means God looked down like a cosmic fortune teller and he saw who would believe. You know, who would use their own human powers to believe. And he looked and, well, that's not election, number one. It's election according to the foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge means prognosko, to know before. And to know in Scripture speaks of affection, of love, just like we were speaking before about in the Sunday school. You know, and Adam knew his wife. He loved her. He had affection for her. Throughout Scripture, that the aspect, and particularly when God speaks of, for God to know someone isn't just, you know, God has a consciousness about them. No, it's more than that. When God knows someone, he loves them. He has affection for them. And the prognosko, the pro-affection of God, speaks of his eternal love. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God knew them before they were. And he loved them. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Unto obedience. The Lord calls his own to himself. And they embrace the gospel of their salvation. They exercise that repentance and that faith that the Spirit gave when he quickened them. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, Peter says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now last week we looked, many passages spoke about the power of God. That's it's the power of God. It's not the power of man. It's not the power of deceit. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Again, that faith that comes from above, that faith that comes from God, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Those that believe reveal the elect of God. They don't make themselves the elect of God. We don't make Christ our Savior. You hear people preaching those, make Christ your Savior. No, he made himself my Savior. I didn't make him my Savior. Or it's like that church that you pass on the way here. I don't know if they still got that thing up there, but it was like, you know, be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus. I don't know where that comes from. Be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus. He chose us from before the foundation of the world. He chose to indwell us. He chose to come within. We didn't say, oh, here, Lord, he take my heart. No. No. He's the one that determines those things. The good news, the gospel, the evangelion, then is to those with the broken heart. It's to the weak and the weary. It's to the thirsty and the hungry. It's to the sick man. Who longs for a physician? Who longs for healing? It's the sick man. It's the sinner who seeks forgiveness, not the righteous. The Pharisees weren't seeking any forgiveness because their eyes hadn't been opened. They were still dead in trespasses and sin. They trusted in themselves and their own righteousness. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, when the Lord opens the sinner's eyes, when he makes that dead sinner alive, he starts looking. He said, there's nothing here. I've got nothing. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Those great sinners realize they need a great Savior. And it's only by the power of God that's brought about. Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. No, we're unprofitable servants. We're weak and we're weary. We're burdened and we're thirsty. And so the prophet says again over in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth! Yeah, that's not a universal invitation. It's to those who have been quickened, who realize their state, who thirst. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is not satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me! He that has ears, hear. Dead man can't hear. They don't hear because they cannot hear. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Again, the prophet says in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Evangelion, good news unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. See, those that have already got it made, they don't need anything. They don't realize their own state. An opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all that mourn. Indeed, it's a call. I mean, we don't even like to speak. It's not really an invitation, because all that are the Lord's will come to Him. But it's a call. It's a proclamation. In Matthew 11, verse 28, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, in Luke, the Lord says in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. No, we don't offer salvation to anyone. No, we can't offer something that's already been accomplished, something that's already been done. But the elect of God are called to Him, and they see their state, and they see their need, and they receive and embrace the gospel of their salvation. He who is born again receives the message of Calvary. He doesn't do so in order to be born again. That's to turn the whole thing upside down and inside out. His reception doesn't make the message true or effective. Here comes the messenger, and he's proclaiming something that's already done. It's not your reception of it that makes it effective or not. It's done. It's already been accomplished. And so Paul says over in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. See, righteousness is already done. It's revealed from faith to faith. That God-given faith, it reveals what's been accomplished, what's been done. As it is written, again, the just shall live by faith. Does not say, you know, those who exercise faith shall be just. No, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Who are the just? Those that are chosen of God. Those for whom Christ died. And who they are is revealed in time. And that's, again, to some of the other folks who tell you of my heresies. But I believe, you know, we're eternally, before God, we're eternally justified. We've been in Christ from before the foundation of the world. How in the world is a man in Christ and not justified? We don't know it. We're born and dead in trespasses and sin because of our relationship to Adam. But before God, we're justified because we're in Christ, because of the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world, because there's the blood of the everlasting covenant. And in time, those things are made known. The Lord gives life to His people. He opens their eyes and He opens their ears and they receive. They're instructed of the Father like Peter was. Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And when they do, they embrace that gospel of their salvation. And they receive, you know, the peace and the victory that's already been done. It was already accomplished. They didn't know about it, but it was done. It was done. Like that little boy I always talk about that got kidnapped. You know, he was the prince. And he got kidnapped by the pirates, and he's taken away, and he lives as a pirate, and he lives laboring for the pirates, and he lives under the dominion of the pirates, and he lives as a slave, and eventually the king's been searching for his son, finally he brings him back, and it's revealed, you're not a pirate, you're not a slave, you're the prince. Well, he was that all along, but he didn't know it. And so it is with the child of God. You know, we're those things by the grace of God, and because of Christ. But we don't know it. We don't know it. Until the Lord opens our hearts and our ears and our eyes as the Holy Spirit gives us life. And then we embrace that gospel. And so that all that the Father giveth me. And so the results, the effects of the proclamation of the gospel is the elect hear and receive and embrace. And what a glorious thing that is. And I'm not totally through with this section yet. So we'll pick up there next week. Okay, let's take our hymnals. And we'll stand and sing a closing hymn this morning. Number 331, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn. 331.
His glorious love and my own.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to gather as your people. Lord, what a glorious thing to contemplate his people. Lord, we know there was nothing worthy in us. There was no good thing that could be foreseen in us. But Lord, it was all by your eternal love, eternal grace. And Father, may all the glory ever be rendered up to thee. Father, we thank you for our Savior, for all that he accomplished on the behalf of his people. And Father, we thank you that you were pleased to call us by your Spirit, to give us life, to open our eyes and ears that we might hear those things. We might see our own terrible state and need. We might be brought to embrace the gospel of our salvation, to receive the benefits of those things that were already accomplished. Lord, I pray that you help us to be that people you would have us to be, to be faithful witnesses, to proclaim your truths and to trust you for anything that's brought forth, and to give you glory for all that's brought forth. To realize you're glorified, Lord, in the proclamation of those things regardless of what's brought forth. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for bringing Bob to visit with us. Lord, I pray your healing hand upon those who are sick and ailing. Father, again, we thank you for our Savior, for his atoning death, and we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.